Blessing to all of you. Well, I'm waiting for my PPT to set up and so that I can control from here. And there will be about 40 slides going along with the message today. I hope that will be helpful for you to receive the word of our Lord Jesus at the same time coming to our sight and our senses. As our Lord Jesus is in our midst right here, as we read his words, as we see his works and his activities 2,000 years ago. Right now, this is the text that I have chosen from the NIV version, and this is what I requested Solomon to read it for you. And if you have your English Standard Version. And please turn to that because it will be very helpful because I'm going to confuse you in a moment of changing certain words that I have chosen out of my study. I believe that that could be better bring the clarity and through different expressions that is really in the text that are helping us to capture the vision of our Lord Jesus and the passion and the mission that he is journeying on with us. Okay, now, coming back here, now this is, I would say, quite familiar to maybe many of you, it's not most, that being a missions-minded church, as far as I know, that coming here to be with you for about a month and worshiping together, then I come to know that your church is really a missions-minded church. So this text should be in some way pretty familiar, if not to all. Often enough that when we have, when we read this text, perhaps there's quite a tradition and long histories that they're kind of putting us in this framework, right? Like a squarish, that with the two big words that really staring at us, missions and evangelism. Right. However, I would want to take this time to show you that, in fact, the text itself, when we come to rendering, that could be using different terms and for the purpose of clarity and a better expression. Now, this is the NIV text with the heading, The Workers Are Few, where Jesus went through, giving us an idea or the impression that Jesus was alone. However, coming later, in verse 37, in fact, that our Lord Jesus then said to his disciples. So basically, it is not really synchronizing from the very first verse to the middle of it. So later, we will see how went through can be translated in a different way to bring the implied object back to the text as the specified object, which is God's Jesus' disciples. It is really there through and through. Every disease and sickness can be rendered in a different way. In fact, in the English Standard Version, it's translated in a different way as well. Hazard and helpless, and lastly, asked the Lord. So, now this is my translation, and with the title that I have given to this text, that is Pastoral Care and Counsel. It's not so much of missions and evangelism. And surely they come along and they come to maybe the secondary position. But the first one, it seems to me, our Lord Jesus is showing, doing, in inviting us into pastoral care and counsel. And then coming to back to the first verse there is, and Jesus led about. That's the implied object, which is his disciples, men and women. that Jesus invited them to come and gather them to be with him, right, on the journey of going about all the towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of kingdom and healing every, in my text, is sickness and weakness. That's something coming to us on the outside, then making us weak and less able, as well as right inside us, that on the journey of life, that our experiences, our interactions with people, that really bothering us, weakening us as a human person. So our Lord is very interested in our what is on the outside happening, as well as on the inside, our feelings, our experiencing, our sorrows and discomfort, isn't it? Now over here we come to the fainting and dropping, which is highlighted in green. Very similar, in fact, being confused, being harassed. But here it seems to me go well with the imagery of sheep, of people. You know, have you ever come across people fainting and dropping, right? Just can't really stand, can't really walk, can't really go any farther. So that kind of situation, as Jesus enlightens it, as sheep who have no shepherd. And lastly, the very strong word is not just asking, even though that's true when we come to praying, our Lord Jesus teaches us and encourages to just ask, like a very small child to his father, to her father. Definitely, ask was used in the text in Lord's Prayer. But over here, our Lord Jesus is using a very strong word of prayer, praying. All right, so my suggestion is when we come to the text, let the text come on us with the very impact, focus, that is our Lord, our God, is the shepherd to us and sending us to shepherding those that God is putting us around us, even at our home. We can be part of the shepherding effort, right? Or on the team. It's not necessary to be a pastor, then to be a pastoring, but it is anyone that who have received our Lord Jesus, who's being ministered by this great pastor, our Lord Jesus, and therefore we will be in some way coming to a situation whereby we can be even being part of the pastoral effort or being part of the pastoral team, in a sense. Later on, when we go through the text, I will find that, and you will find that, I hope, with a great appreciation, a greater awareness that God is gathering us together to be ministered, and as well as we will be sent out to be shepherds and pastors in many ways, in a different degree, and to be a blessing to the world. Right, the very first point that I highlight, and I changed the word from when through to our Lord Jesus, that about. And not just that, our Lord Jesus is leading us on the journey together with him, right, and with brothers and sisters. And our Lord Jesus is also speaking to every one of us individually as well as in a communal manner. So the text here is once again giving us a picture. It's larger than Jesus went through different places alone, but rather he is the one that taking us together on the journey as he is doing his preaching, teaching, and healing. So the very first point is our Lord Jesus is leading as well as speaking to us, to our hearts, to our lives, to our situations. Now, you can ask me, and you should ask me, how dare you to change the Bible title, yeah, or the heading of this paragraph. And that's true, I change it because this is what the text comes to the surface and come to our hearts. Because look at this, teaching, preaching, healing. Maybe you can ask yourself, hey, what does my pastor do every day, every week with us? Oh, of course, he's doing teaching, preaching, and healing, right? So the very content and very beautiful life and activities that is to give care and to counsel to you. So if you are, I'm sure you're still recruiting, looking for a pastor to be the congregational pastor, right? So I mean your English-speaking one. So we are looking into someone that who is doing that. So that's why I got the title, the heading for this. And so it's our Lord Jesus taking his disciples together on the journey, leading them around, about, in all towns and villages, teaching, preaching, healing. And our Lord Jesus saw the clouds, and he was moved with compassion for them. And God is there for them, for his own disciples, as well as for those that our Lord Jesus is seeking and reaching out to, with a compassion, because they were fainting and they were dropping like sheep who have no shepherd. You know what? About 18, 19 years ago, right? My Lord took my wife and I and planted us, took us to China inland. Partly we were doing teaching, English teaching, in order to reaching out to students. And on the other hand, at that time, I was asked to help in the sheep farming project. So I was with sheep, really, literally, on the mountain, and looking at them, and hugging them, and getting to know them. You know, so if anyone who is fainting and dropping, and definitely it is really suffering from ill health, right? And needing and leading some care. And that is I could really, out of my experience, to have the sense of people really need the Lord. And those weak and those sick, they really need someone to be there. And our Lord Jesus is looking at that, coming in touch very much in the life of the people, and his heart goes out for them, as the text that show us clearly. That is the greatest need. That I really pray for you before I came, my dear brothers and sisters, that we will come to the greatest need, that we can have such a sight and sense that come to us as our Lord Jesus saying that he is leading us, and he's saying to us the greatest need. And that's true. The harvest is huge, but the workers are few. Pray, therefore, to the Lord of harvest, that he may send out workers into his harvest. Now, basically, we went through the text. It's a short one, only four verses. And I hope that you will come to realize, as I do, that the text is talking about sheep and shepherd. Isn't it? It's talking about God's flock. Rather than missions and evangelism, which I myself is a missionary and I love the text, but I believe that missions is to do with shepherding, to do with taking the harvest seriously. Let me come with you to a comprehension check. It's like I'm teaching in a college here. What is the harvest, right, from the text? Can you work it out, at least in your mind, right, with your text? Who are they? Or what is it? Would that be, that is where we find them, as our Lord Jesus introducing them to us, that all the towns and villages, the streets and the shops that we go every day, the synagogues, the meeting places, some people meet at the coffee shop, right? Some people meet at the atrium, at the in the college, someone even meeting at your home as you invite them. At the school, at the college that you attend. And our Lord Jesus leading us one by one, or leading us as small groups into all different places, that to meeting them, what is the harvest? The harvest is characterized by sick and poor, weak and needy, which is the second part of it, isn't it? So the clouds, they are the harvest, fainting and dropping. So, scattered and lost sheep of Israel, which is in Matthew chapter 10. Now, the text is chapter 9. In chapter 10, our Lord Jesus recapture the clouds again, and they are the lost sheep of Israel. The clouds, the nation of Israel, the harvest, putting them together. Oh, is that right? Now, our Lord Jesus chosen the word harvest, right, to put side by side with the clouds. Will you do the same? I give you just 2 seconds. If you see a cloud and your heart is moving, passion and compassion come to the surface, come right to the center. And what will you use? A term to describe, to talk about the cloud that you are meeting, you are facing, you are ministering to, or you are going to reach out. Now, Jesus is using the word harvest. Surely we have to ask why. I've given you 2 seconds, right? So, is there a word, an imagery that comes to your mind when you see the cloud? Will you say, look, the harvest, right? What's the term you use for that? And why that? Why using the word harvest? Two weeks ago, we got a pastor right here and delivering a message from the Word of God. Remember, 2 weeks ago, what was the text? And when I was there, so I was sitting there, so the text is the Old Testament scripture. It comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Right, this is a part of it. All right, so chapter 9, verse 2 to 4. The people who were walking in darkness have seen a great light. You shall increase the nation, the people, the nation, right? You shall make its joy great. They shall rejoice before you, as in the joy of harvest. You shall break the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor. How can the nation get joyful? And over here is the key: increase, break, right? When the yoke of the burden is broken, the nation will rejoice. When the staff of his shoulder is broken, that will make them joyful, right? And lastly, the rod of his oppressor. I just want you to remember, okay, this text, which is in the Old Testament, in fact, very likely our Lord Jesus refers to, as he looks at the cloud, he looks at his own people, the nation. When he looks at the cloud, he looks at this. Something must be changed from fainting and dropping to being joyful and rejoicing. How can it be pastoral care and pastoral counsel that is the power of breaking the curses of the yoke, the staff, and the rod? Okay, remember that. Later we'll go back to the text and we'll find. And that's true. You read to me. One, two, go. Your vocation in life comes from where your greatest joy meets the world's greatest need. Wow, great verse, isn't it? Not from the Bible, but from the wisdom that we can experience in life as we granted and rooted ourselves in the Bible. And that's true. So the harvest is really, they are sick and weak, they are fainting and dropping. Remember, I mentioned that the Lordship of Israel is in chapter 10 of the book of the Gospel of Matthew, and then chapter 11, the great saying from our Lord, come to, you fill in the blank, one, two, go. Come to me, right? The great saying in Matthew 11, for those who are weary and burdened. Who are they? In the text of Isaiah, we come to know that they are the people who are being captured and oppressed, right, with the yoke, the staff, and the rope, and the rod, right? So, chapter 10, lostness. Chapter 11, weary and burdened. Back to chapter 9. So our Lord is introducing the field, the harvest. Who are they? What are they? What are their conditions? What is the greatest need? Are you with me? Are you with our Lord and with the text? So who are the workers? And so we talk about the harvest. And who are the workers? Comprehension check. From the text, we come to know they are... See? Who are they? They are the disciples. Yeah. And that is our Lord Jesus as well. So who are the workers? Our Lord Jesus gathering, leading his own people, right, to be the serving team in the world to the harvest, right? What do the workers do? The last comprehension check. What do workers do in the text? What they are being led to do, right? What they are invited to participate in. Before that, we get a suspension or the, not a suspension, we go into a sideline to look at what do the workers not do. Is that in the text? Now, not in our English text, but in our Chinese texts. Really? Take a look. Now, when you go to the Heheben, the Shenzhen, go to the Chinese Heheben, the version 1919, as well as go to the two latest versions, we have the CCV and CCB. Basically, they mean contemporary English contemporary Chinese translation. They are having an addition of two words that put in the text. I highlighted in blue. Gather, which is the English one, is Chinese, is 收割, 庄稼. They are put putting the action word there, right? Gather. That's why we got, even early on the very first page that I put up, the slides is the workers are few. Now, where does it come from? The subheading in the NIV as well as in many Chinese versions, because they take it as like a very verb that is to gather the bumper crops. All right, so what a big harvest. And then harvesting the harvest. They are the harvesters, and they are the gatherers of the field. Now, may I challenge that understanding? In fact, it is not. Remember, in the text that I translated at least, or even in the normal English version, that you don't find harvesters, you don't find gatherers, right? What do we find? What do we find? We find our Lord Jesus, disciples, shepherd, and workers. Am I right? Now, one more time. Are you following me? Are you with me? Now, there's no harvester or gatherer there in the text. But in the Chinese text, there is the additional words that too there is to do with gathering, harvesting. Now, why should I bring this up to you? Because there is a notion that very common, it is called a popular belief among Christians. When they come to this text, they think about short-term missions in particular. And then they are there, you know, oh, they're being sent, let's say, to Macau. When I was there 25 years ago, being a teacher in high school, and I find that a lot of Hong Kong teams, Christians, churches, sending small teams, short-term teams to Macau, having this banner. All right, so we are coming to harvest, right? Okay, and then as if being almost, okay, coming down to the bottom, that the harvest is being almost equal to the idea of someone being ready and for making a decision to believe in Jesus. So teams after teams coming to Macau when I was there, and I see the Hong Kong teams are coming and they evangelizing and doing all the activities, and at the end, before they leave, they leave me with a stack of follow-up cards. They call it decision-making cards, right? Decision. They show us that, they show me a list, and they told me that, you know, we got so many people, they came to know the Lord, they pray the sinner's prayers, okay, go and follow them up. Then I was happy at the same time, puzzled. I was confused at the same time, challenged. What can I do? Now, in the text, it's talking about pastoral care and counsel, but to them, it is like harvesting. So I hope that you capture what I wanted to say here, is that, wait a minute. Yes, you can come to Macau. You can reach out to people, perhaps with a pastoral heart and care in mind, and with all your activity gearing towards people that there, they are weak and poor. They are sick and weary and needy. What they need is there. What is need is you is there to be their shepherd, rather than to be the harvester. So what is the harvest then, the clouds? With this summary page that we have gone through, it's our Lord Jesus that characterized the clouds very clearly. So they are not being ready to be harvested. They are there to wait. They are there for you, that you can be there to minister to them, right? Rather than that. Okay. So I want to highlight, go back to the three things. Remember the yoke, the staff, and the rod. Harvest, the group of people, many groups of people that our Lord Jesus visited them, that they are in such a situation, people have done this to them, right? For example, the yoke of burden loading, the staff of upside leading, and also the road of pain afflicting. They are in such a situation, and I can think of, and you can also associate that in Jesus' time, the political oppression of the Roman Empire. The cultural invasion of pagan worship on the outside, and also the religious corruption on the inside of Judaism. You can see that, and our Lord seeing that, and we, our brothers and sisters, even today, we are not facing the same enemies or the oppressions, but we are indeed experiencing and facing a different kind, even a very somewhat similar, even though we don't have the exact oppressors that in Jesus' time, right? So we are to relate to people whom they are still being upside led, being burdened loaded, and also being pained afflicted. So who are the workers and what do they do? So I would suggest that they are really doing what our Lord Jesus is leading us to do. In some way, we can still share the word, right? We can still doing some teaching. We are still proclaiming and saying that good news is here and God has come. And also healing, that we are willing to spend time with others. And put away your handphone, please, and listen. Listening is healing. I truly believe that. I wonder if you believe or not. Yeah, it is. So we can, in some way, take part in the care and counsel in many ways. Right. So the workers are shepherds and pastors. And what do? They do preaching, teaching, and healing, which we all can play a part as we all receive the ministry of our Lord on us, right? We are being healed, we are being taught, we are being ministered. So, coming to this time, and I'm going to close, and that is, this is the text that drawing us to the very attention of God's shepherding to us as He is sending us. When we are ready, when we are willing, when we are a bit more and more able and abler, that we are going into doing the same to others. So what did the disciples do first and foremost, that which is in the text, which is the application? And what do we do today, every one of us? Shouldn't be a hidden message for you, right? Because it is in the text that in the will of God that we pray, and the focus and the direction is pastoral care and counsel. So in a moment, we're going to spend a minute, a full minute, to pray as our Lord Jesus leads you about all the streets and shops and places, families that we are going through, you are going through, and as Jesus, our Lord, speaks to you in the journey of life and faith. So the text is here, 4 verses. We're spending about half an hour to come right into it. We're going to come out of it in prayer. The prayer come with 2 arrows that you can see. I put it up. One is the downward arrow that is praying for the sending of workers, right? One more time. The first arrow is going down right next to the end, that is praying the sending of workers. And how about the upward arrow? Now, this is what we're going to do now. I'm not asking you to pray for the sending of workers, I'm asking you to pray for the sand wand potential. In fact, all of us are in the text. We are believers. We are disciples of the Lord Jesus. And our Lord Jesus has been leading us and speaking to us. And therefore, again, our prayer today, we come to the end of receiving the word of God. It's the time to respond to Him, praying for ourselves. How do we pray? Individually, I would invite you to pray that, to pray to our Lord Jesus that you will lead me about all the towns and villages. And our Lord Jesus, I pray to you that you will speak to me in the journey of my life and faith. And with that, we will venture into a larger world, into the harvest. But before that, before venturing into the harvest, we are invited to coming to be gathered to our Lord and pray for that. Okay, so what I'm trying to say again is we pray now for a minute, that you pray that you will be able to listen to our Lord and come to the sight and the sense of you are being ministered by our Lord Jesus, and you are going to hear our Lord saying to you that about the harvest, about what you can enter into preaching, teaching, healing, or something that's similar. Okay, we'll spend a minute. Let's pray and I will close.